Yes, sir. Come on in.
Minute I got here, that bird, mockingbird started singing.
He's singing.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, before I forget about it, I want you to sample that. And I'll tell you what it is.
Carrot cake.
Yeah, that's right.
Uh-huh. Remember, Faye brought me over one time.
Oh, did she?
Yeah.
Did she?
Yeah.
Well, I tell you, that
real
is
good.
The richest thing I ever
And
had.
It's moist. That's what I like about it. Mmm. It's more like a pudding than a cake. Let me give you a...
Little Bessie did that.
Bessie. Is that right?
Bessie Thompson. That's her specialty.
Mmm. Boy, it's good.
Why she makes
What in the world does she grate up the carrots with?
I don't know. I wish she were here. We'd find out.
That must be a fine grater.
Well, I tell you, she's...
She must cook them and put them through a sieve.
She's a huge woman.
Mmm.
Just huge. Way up there, and I'm telling you, she's got a jaw like a boxer.
Mmm.
She went into the... To the dentist, she had toothache, and she said, just take them all out. I just can't stand this old thing.
For one tooth? And she had them all pulled?
Yeah, all pulled out, and you let them put all new ones in. And that bottom one looks like a horse's mouth. I'm telling you, it is sturdy. Well, she's a sturdy woman.
Mm-hmm.
Well, anyhow, she can get you told. I mean, anywhere she goes, she can just work people over. She's just got a gift for that. But she's also gifted. She's a great... She was brought up cleaning and sweeping and taking care of children.
Mm-hmm.
And cooking. And she is... I've seen her do a little of it. And she can almost walk through the house and clean it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, no job for her.
Yeah.
On the floor, she said she likes to get out on her knees, but she got her knees in shape. She can't do that, so she has to use
She's like I am. I don't like to mess with the floors unless I can get down with a scrub brush and clean them.
Yeah.
Really get down and really clean them. I mean, not just mop over them.
That,
but they don't do that anymore. You don't see anybody doing that anymore, getting down on their knees. I got caught a couple of times, and they laughed their heads off at me for getting down on my knees and doing it. But getting on your knees never hurt anybody, I don't But I'm like she is. You know, the heavier you get, the harder it is to get down on your knees. And then my heart isn't like it should be, so I get awful short-winded when I'm down like that. So now I do a lot with a... But I've got a... I went to the automatic stage. I got a scrubber that you use with electricity, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And I scrub them that way now. Most of the time. But still, I get down on my knees and do them a lot.
And you
got
the corners?
Yeah, I can't stand it unless I get down there with a scrub brush and just, you know. Because that wax keeps the dirt to the floor if you don't. If you get all that old wax off and then scrub them and then put down another couple of coats of wax, they stay nice for a couple of 2-3 months.
Oh, yes.
And then all you have to do is wipe over them.
Well, I haven't had experience with wax on the floor, but I have on the car. And it just stays a long time.
Uh-huh.
And all you got to do is just rub it off or wash it off.
Buff it a little bit and it's all right for a while.
Oh, yeah.
I shouldn't think you'd have to wax a car more than 2 or 3 times a year.
No.
To keep it good.
But you know now, they fudge. They figure that paint job will last
Yeah. They put just enough paint on there to make you think it's painted.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm
They've learned
more
the
money.
Lessons, haven't they?
Yeah. Berman's had to repaint several cars for some fellas because of the poor paint that was on them at the manufacturers. And they, that's a lot. He did a lot of body and fender work and repainting and things like this. It is a shop there in Orlando, but when he wasn't busy rebuilding machinery and hay balers and tractors and automobiles, he was doing the body work and fender work and the repainting jobs. But to this day, when he buys a piece of new machinery, he'll clean it all down before he even uses it the first time and repaint it.
He takes it loose. And
every piece loose, cleans it, and sands it down, paints it, puts it back together, greases it, and oils it, and away he goes. And it stays up for him.
And that way, that's like having a shed for it.
Uh-huh. Well, he puts it under the shed, too, when he gets through with it at the end of the season.
Yeah.
But a lot of people just leave their machinery out in the weather all the time. And
yeah.
It's hard on a piece of machinery.
Yeah. And they leave it out without doing what he does.
Yeah. And he broke a piece of... That's why we weren't over yesterday. He broke a piece of a spring off on the hay baler Saturday. Just about... We had one more round to go that he had raked. And broke a piece of a spring off. That ties the knots, you know. So he had to go along behind the baler, Johnny Bailey,
yeah.
and follow the baler
and
push that
knot.
Thing, you know, and tie the knots as it went out
to
finish it up.
Yeah.
But then he couldn't keep doing that. It was taking a lot of his time and a lot of his energy to walk all the way around that field, you know, and follow the baler.
Yeah.
So he decided when he got to the house that he'd pull the spring that looks identically to the one on the hay baler off of the truck. It holds the clutch plate in. So he took it off the truck and put it on there to use Sunday morning, and it rained.
Oh.
It would have worked beautifully, but it rained, and we lost that bit of hay.
Well, be darned. I just figured everything was in.
We worked hard. We worked hard Saturday than we've ever worked in the hay before, from sun up to sun down, and taking the hay out of there and putting it in the barn, go back get another load. And in between times, he'd go down and rake it. While Johnny and I was unstacking it, he'd go down and rake it, and we'd come back down, he'd help us pick it up, we'd go back and unload that, and then he'd bale the next load. We kept doing that all day long Saturday. And then Sunday, well, Saturday night, we finished up with what he had raked by him tying the knot. But then Sunday morning, he had to go down, I guess he had about 400 more bales
God,
down.
For that minute?
It really hurts. But half of that was supposed to have been Freddie Woods' hay, so we only lost about 200 bales to of ours. 200
well,
of his.
It's not going to dry out?
Well, we're going to try. If the wind and the sun stays out like it is now, but it was clouding up awfully when I left there.
Where's this moisture coming from?
That disturbance we had down around Miami, I think this is part of it.
Still part of it?
I think so. It's just scattered showers.
Yeah.
It's nothing
yeah.
threatening. But it just, if it held off another day.
Well, I figured yesterday when that misting started, I thought to myself, well, sir, it is nice. Berman finished up and he can just sit back on the porch and just watch the rain.
I wish that would have been, but he was disgusted all day yesterday afternoon. He really was. Well, he got out there in between showers and he worked on the bullpen. He's got the posts all in on one side. And I mean, he's building a pen. I told him you didn't have to go to that extreme with that bull. You just tell him to stay there, and he would. But he said no. He wanted to build a good pen because he wanted to put Johnny's little steer in there and a few other, and one and the chapter steer. So that'd be two little steers and Patrick, and Pappy. But he wanted to go ahead and put it up because he said I don't want to have to build it again next year. So he's putting
well,
a pretty good pen out there.
There's some advantage in that where you know, you see, you're
yeah.
not going to have to go out and start rebuilding.
Yeah, well, the price that the material is now, you have to put into it, you might as well go ahead and build a good sturdy fence that'll be there 8-10 years that you know it'll stand up, as to put the money in the material and put up just a temporary fence, because it really costs money to put the money into that stuff anymore.
You never thought you'd see the price of fence like this.
It's $34 $44 a roll. And this was a wholesale price, not retail price. And then the posts, little old skinny posts like this, and you put one staple in it and it's going to split it right in two.
Yeah.
But a post like that is $1.10.
What about?
Farmers Mutual.
But I buy Mr. Palmer, and I've been getting pretty good posts for 75 cents.
You have?
Yeah.
What length are they?
6.5.
And what are they dimensions?
They're good sturdy posts. They're good enough for anybody's fence. They're good sturdy posts. Heavy.
Mr. Palmer.
Now they're not as big as You know, they're not those 4-inch ones, but they'll hold up anybody's fence.
Where do you find Mr. Palmer? Where is he located?
Well, you know him down here at Reddy.
No.
Down at Palmer's store. He's the only one that sells anything anymore. You see, Reddick stopped selling over there at Wynn's place.
Mm. We used to buy them over at Spar.
Yeah.
And they fell under now.
Yeah. Huh?
They're not selling anymore merchandise anymore, are they? That I know of.
Well, I got them on the phone once twice this summer.
But they're not selling any more fencing or fence posts or anything like that, are they? Or timber?
I don't think they could make much on it for one reason.
Well, they used to sell pretty good stuff over there. We used to buy all our farmers and supply over there.
Yeah.
Now, not anymore, are they?
Yeah.
I think the old fella died that used to have that. I believe his children took it over.
I think that sort of fell through. They had a big thing there for a while, or tried to, and then they must have found that it cost them too much, and they didn't get the volume they expected. Mm-hmm. They thought they'd get it all over this country, you see.
Well, he bought some big posts about like this, you know, used for corner posts and for gate posts and hang his gates on, things like that.
Oh, I tell you, it's nice to have a good corner post. It is nice.
Oh, yeah.
You can't hardly get along without it.
Then he got some barbed wire to put, you know, a strand along the top to keep the kids from crawling over the fence and then a strand through the middle to make the fence sturdier. So he's really fixing it up nice. I hope that...
That barbed wire is
expensive.
American is $18.
I think that's what he paid for this.
Gee whiz.
When we put that fence up down the laneway, that hog wire cost us $16 a roll.
Yeah.
And the barbed wire cost us, it was either $7 or $8 a roll.
Yeah. So boy, if you could do just 4 seam and just stocked up, wouldn't that have been something?
I don't think this is going to be the bottom. I think it's going to go up some more.
Keep going on?
I believe it will. From what everybody says, I believe it's going to go up some more.
I mean, things are still so unsettled?
The groceries, I know, aren't. As long as they keep going up, everything else is going to go up.
Are they still going up?
Oh, my goodness. Last month, Berman brought home a jar of peanut butter. It was about twice the size of this jar here.
Yeah.
And it was $1.45.
Bigger than this?
Yeah, about that size. No, I think it was another size larger than
that. Oh, that's $1.23.
Yeah, well, it was $1.45. And this is at Winn-Dixie. Okay, you must have got this at least a month ago.
Yeah.
Because the one he's got now is about $1.45. Let me see what the ounce. Yeah, that's a 1 pound jar. It had a stack of yellow stickers on top of the jar. And Berman pulled off the top sticker, and it said $1.40. And he pulled off another sticker, and it said $1.39. Pulled off another sticker, it was $1.36. And pulled off another sticker. $1.28. It went on down till it got to be 99 cents for the jar. And the date on it was 1 month ago. On that bottom sticker was 99 cents 1 month ago. Up to $1.48.
Is it a date on some of the stickers?
It is on some of them. On the yellow stickers, it's down at the bottom of the sticker. 1 month ago. It was 99 cents and the date was $1.48 or $1.49.
I thought I didn't realize that. I thought they'd level off.
They're going up all the time. And butter, oleo is as expensive as butter. Mm. It's enough to make you want to make your own butter.
How about meat?
Well, the meat stays a little stabilized. It's two, 3 cents higher than what it was here a couple of weeks, 2 or 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
On the average, some things are a little more, but on the average, it's about 2-3 cents higher than it was. But you know, it went down quite a bit there for a while. But it's going gradually going back up again. But the price of cattle is way down. Matter of fact, it's at a standstill right now. I advertised some of those cows, and this is the first time since we've been in the cattle business that I wasn't able to sell last week.
Oh, really?
So it's at a standstill.
Oh.
So I don't know what's going to happen. I advertised in the market bulletin, but it didn't come out in the market bulletin because I wanted to move some of those cows, those sorry ones, before we brought yours over there in a while. But I tried to call them out and sell about 9 or 10 of those cows and that bull. Of course, now I've got a buyer for the bull, but I'm still trying to get some more for him than I'm getting. This guy wants to give me 400 for him, but I think I can get 5. I'm trying to. And so I tried to advertise in the market bulletin, which hasn't come out yet. And the Jacksonville paper, and I had one man to come out and look at them, and he bought those steers. He's the one that bought the steers. That's a few days after we brought the steers over there, and they went right away. But then now, I advertised in the Orlando paper last week, and it was in 6 different papers. They have 3 morning papers and 3 evening papers, and you couldn't advertise in one without getting them all. They catch you that way. So I went ahead and advertised in the 6 papers, and I had one man to call, and he wasn't even interested.
And that's unusual.
Sure is. Usually I have quite a few out there. So I just have to advertise again a little more or something and wait for the bulletin. I had more luck with the bulletin than I had anything else.
Yeah. But now that Orlando area looks like it ought to be promising. They've got so much
money. I've always sold to Orlando. I have always sold people cows in Orlando. Now I've got some buyers that I can go back through. I've got their addresses. I can go back through and see if I can find a few that's interested. But I don't like to do that. I'd rather advertise through the paper and let them contact me.
Yeah. They've got so much money down there now.
Well,
sell anything.
Uncle Colbert is down there. He's in the cattle business, but he buys old range cows and puts them out to fatten and then resells them.
Yeah.
He makes money on his cows that way.
Well, where does he find the range now?
He goes to market and buys anything that's under certain weight.
I mean, where does he find the land?
Oh, he's had land.
His own land.
Owns all Bethel out there.
And range?
Oh, yeah. He's built up into homes that he's rented. He's in real estate. He's a landlord of about 50 to 60 homes out there, and he's in the dairy business, and he's in the beef business, and he's all kinds of real estate. He owns the real estate even up into Canada. But he's Clark, and he only had a 4th grade education. So he's doing real well. Anything he touches turns to money. We're just the opposite. I told Berman I wish a little of his uncle had rubbed off on him.
Yeah. You some people have to work for it, and others
he never has worked, I don't think, a day in his life, but he's good about telling everybody else how to work for him.
Yeah.
Berman used to work for him when he started out.
Yeah.
And he sure did like Berman to work for him, because when Berman worked, he did more than 12 men did it in one day. And then when Berman quit working for him, and he was paying him dirt cheap, Berman was working all kinds of hours. Matter of fact, when we dated, he was still working for Uncle Colbert, and he couldn't come over and see me only certain hours of the day, of the evening, and then he had to be home at a certain time so he could go to bed to get up early enough to go to work for Uncle Colbert. That used to make me so mad. I'd get so provoked at him for working for Uncle Colbert for nothing at all. And then when he quit, Uncle Colbert told him that, he said, I'll give you a little more money if you'll stay with me. But then I think he was paying him less than $1 an hour.
Berman?
Yeah. Berman did it, just because he was his uncle. And tried to have, he felt bad about it because he had a very bad back. He was down straight on his back. He couldn't get up at all. He had a slipped disc in his back. And he had all this work piling up, and he kept hearing all Uncle Colbert's troubles, and And he figured, well, he'd help him out. And he started out just helping him a few days, and next thing you knew, he was working for him full time. And he's also in the grove business. He has a lot of groves down there.
Well, there's two ways of getting Berman to help his aunt.
Yeah. Slip your disc in your back, or...
or start complaining.
Yeah, complain and complain and complain. And he'll finally feel sorry.
He'll come over to help you, and pretty soon he'll be working full time.
Boy, I'm telling you, Uncle Covert used to know how just how to handle him. And he used to call Berman Buddy all the time. He'd say, well, Buddy, he said, you couldn't lend me a hand just for a few hours, and he'd be there all day.
And he did it deliberately.
Yeah, he was a wise old fellow.
He's a wise old fellow.
I'll tell you that. Well, he went to my aunt. I'll tell you how wise he was. I was dating Berman at the time. And he went to my aunt and asked her for my hand in marriage. And I didn't know anything about it. And he's old enough to be my grandfather. And it got word back to Berman, and I think Auntie told Berman or something. I don't know how it was. But anyway, he was mad as he could be. And I didn't see him for about 2 months because this story got back to him. And he thought I had something to do with it. He thought I was going after Uncle Colbert, I guess, for his money or something. I don't know what it was. But anyhow, I told Uncle Colbert, I said, I want you to be a man about this and go back and tell Berman all that happened, you know, why. But I didn't know anything about what you was going to talk to Auntie about. So he finally did and got it straightened out.
Oh, really?
But boy, he's a corker. And he had children older than Berman. And here he was, wanting to have my hand in marriage. I could have died when she told me that. I had no idea that he was going to pull such a boner. But he did that to break up Berman and I.
Oh.
But he was serious about it. He was serious about it. He really had good intentions.
Yeah.
But he didn't want Berman
to keep Berman independent.
Yeah, yeah. He wanted Berman where Berman would work for him, and yet, and he was... He was dating all the girls, you see. He was quite a Casanova. So he's quite a colorful character, I'll tell you.
Oh, he's been a sport in his time.
He sure has. He's married 3 or 4 times. Now he has emphysema real bad, heart trouble, angina of the heart, and this girl he finally married after Berman and I got married. I think she's 2 or 3 years older than I am. And they've had 2 children. Got a girl and a boy. I don't think he's quite the Romeo he used to be. I think now he's staying home pretty good, but his age is catching up with him.
At one time, he was Romeo on the side.
Oh, yeah. He'd go to Virginia, West Virginia, where his old homestead was up there, and he knew quite a few girls up there. This is where he met this Marietta, the girl he married after Berman and I got married. But he was quite a man, I'll tell you. And his first wife, you know, he's a great big man. And his first wife, the mother of his first 4 children, and the baby, the youngest of the 4 children, is 2 years older than Berman is. He and his wife were sitting outside on a swing, one of these double swings, you know, it was up in between 2 trees. There was a post going across the top, and it was anchored to the chain was over the post or something. And the post broke. He sat on the swing. His wife was sitting there, and he went over and sat down beside her. And they'd been having an argument because she found out he was dating this other girl. And he went over and sat down on the swing to explain a few things to her. And when he did, when he sat down, the post broke and came down and hit her across the skull like this. It was right across the top of her head. And they rushed her to the hospital, but she never knew anything after that. And she's like a child. And so he took care of her. And he built her a beautiful home. They separated. He built her a beautiful home and gave her all the money that she'd ever need for the rest of her life. And I think she remarried, though, again, later on. I don't really know. But he's been good about supporting her all the time. Now, this was up... the kids were teenagers. The children were teenagers. But he took care of her, plus married again, and then had another family. And then that wife got fed up with him or something. Now, they took the children and left. And he's continued to support that family. Then he married this... I think he was married in between that time and this one woman he's married to now. And I'm not sure of that, but I do know he's married now to Mary Edna. She's about 2 years older than I am, and they have two children, and he's supporting them. So how in the world he can keep going, I don't know. He keeps buying more real estate. He was county commissioner for 22 years.
Well, that would put him right at the center of the information.
Do nothing and get paid well for it.
That would be like
that's where he found out about all his real estate. And all the throughways were going in. Whatever was being developed, he had to buy a piece of ground right there near that development. Then he turned around and sell it for thousands of dollars, where he only paid a few dollars for it. And he came to Florida, too, about the time that land was selling for 25, 30 cents an acre.
Yeah.
And he has 4 square miles and 1 piece that I know of. This is Bizalo.
4 sections.
4 square miles. The whole area belongs to him. This is Bizalo. The whole town of Bizalo belongs to him. So he, brought homes in there, started rebuilding homes. See, that went through a very depressing era right in through there. The town had borrowed money from bonds from a Jewish concern in Miami. So they had quite a hold on the whole town of Bizalo. He thought there at one time he was going to lose it. So what he did was go around to all these, he built a lot of homes. And he brought in homes that was moved off of these throughways, you know. And he had them moved out to Bethlehem. Then he put them up for rent. And he had all these families in there living. Okay, he went around and he scared everyone, including myself and my aunt that lived there. He didn't own, that's the only place in Bethlehem he didn't own, was Berman's house and my aunt's house. And he went around and scared every one of us into thinking that we were going to lose everything we had out there if we didn't help contribute something to him so that he could hire some lawyers to fight this Jewish concern that had given Bizalo, lent Bizalo some money on some bonds to build their city back in the Depression. This all happened before we were even born, you see.
Yeah.
So he went around and collected I don't know how many thousands of dollars from those people out there to go in and pay for the lawyer, when he could have paid for the lawyer himself.
Yeah.
It scared the boots all out of all of us. Then when he won the suit against this lawyer, he hired a crooked lawyer to begin with. And I had to take a crooked lawyer to fight and get the bonds all straightened out. But anyhow, when he finally did get it straightened out, he never did say anything to anybody, and he still kept drawing money from all these people to fight these lawyers. Plus all the rent he was getting from them. He was a shrewd character, I'll tell you. He really knew what he was doing, I guess. It's no wonder he owns what he does. I told him, I said, your father got in the way of your mother and your uncle. His uncle should have married his mother. Those two would have owned the whole United States by now. But Daddy was too honest. He wouldn't take a nickel that didn't belong to him. And his mother is just as dishonest as day is from dark.
Well, now,
night is from day.
Can she turn him over like that?
Oh, boy. That woman's worth more money than I'll ever see. If I was invited to go to Fort Knox, I don't think I'd see as much money as that woman already has. She's got.
Well, she gets it the same way Uncle Colbert does.
Oh yeah, and she's worse than Uncle Colbert. She's far worse than Uncle Colbert is. Berman thinks a lot of Uncle Colbert. Because he says he uses his wit, you know, he really knows what to do when to do it. And he thinks that Uncle Colbert will convince you that he's doing the right thing for everybody. I don't care what it is. He's doing it for somebody else's good, not his own.
Yeah.
But he's getting the gravy. But his mother, he knows her very, very well. And she can't tell the truth. If her life depended on it, she wouldn't be able to tell you the truth about any matter. I don't care what it is. She'll lie about everything. And Berman can't stand that.
Oh.
He cannot stand it. And she'll cheat somebody out of something, and it just nearly kills him. She's burned her houses down over the years and collected insurance for them.
And things like that.
And things like this. So, he knows what she's done. And he knows from what Daddy's told him in the past what she did. And how she's accumulated her money, so it just doesn't set right with him. And he won't have any of it. She used to bribe him by giving him a couple of $1,000 to come down there and stay with her a couple of weeks. And he'd go, and he'd leave me and the kids, when the kids are just babies. And I'd have to tend to the children and go out and pump gas at the gas station. And here I was working, before that, I was working and giving him money to go to school on. In his school, so he quit work so that he could go to school, and I continued to work so we'd have some money to go on. Then when the kids came along, we put the gas station up, and then I was pumping gas and he was running to his mother's. She bribed him by giving him some money, so I didn't like that.
You had to think
it out. I told her no. She got him to go down there one time, the last time we ever had any money dealings with her. She says, buddy, you come down and I'll give you $4,000 to fix my roof and stay with me a few weeks. But leave that wife of yours at home and leave your kids up there. She said, I don't have any need for them down here.
And that might never, well be open with it.
Yeah, well, her and I, we just never did hit it off. And I tried everything to get to know that woman and really like her, but it just didn't go.
You tried.
Yes, I did. I tried everything. So, Berman says, I read the letter when she wrote to him and asked him to come down there. And I said, you going to go? He said, yeah. He said, I guess I'll go. He said, we need the $4,000. And I said, well, if you go, I said, you won't find me and the kids here when you come back. And he said, is that right? And I said, that's right. I said, there's only one way I'll consent. I said, if you think that much of your mother to get a roof fixed, I said, you go on down there and get it fixed. But I said, I want that check when you get back. I'll take the money. So he said, all right. He said, I'll go down there. I said, if she'll do it, if she'll let you go down there and fix her roof and then you come on home and you let her keep her money, all right. But I said, if she gives you that money, I want the money when you get back home. He said, okay. So he went. He came back, and it wasn't, he didn't stop to see me on the way back first. He went to Daddy's first, and I happened to see the car over there. So when he came home, I said, what'd you go to Daddy's for before you stopped here? And he said, just see how he is. So he got dressed and went on out to work at the station, and I jumped in the car and went over to see Daddy. And all I had to do was ask Daddy. Daddy wouldn't lie. He couldn't lie if he had to. And I said, Daddy, what did Berman stop here for on his way home? He said, oh, he had to give me something. I said, what was it, Daddy? And he said, he asked me not to tell you. I said, is that right? I said, it wasn't a check, was it? And he didn't know what to say. And he said, yes, it was. I said, was it for $4,000? He said, yes, it was. I said, did he ask you to put it in your account? He said, yes, he did. I said, okay, that's all I wanted to know. So I got in the car and I went back over to the house And we had it out right there at the gas station. And I said, "What? You went down there, you did accept the check, and then you brought it back and gave it to Daddy and had him put it in his account so that you could check on it from his account without me knowing about it." He says, "Well," he says, "I was afraid you'd be mad about the whole thing." I said, "I am mad." I said, "I want you to go over there right now and get that check. We're going to go put it in the bank. And then you and I are going to get ready. We're going to go on a vacation." And I knew if there was anything that displeased Mama was for me to go on a vacation with Berman. So we went over to Daddy's, got the check, went to the bank, put it in the bank, went home, and we started packing suitcases. And we went to New York for 30 days, one solid month. And every time we made a stop, I made it a point to buy a postcard and write on there, "Having a wonderful time, love, Shirley." And I sent it to my mother-in-law. And I haven't heard from her, and she hasn't asked for Berman to come down there since. She hasn't given him a penny since.
Yeah. But she's got it.
She's got it, but I don't want it.
And she got nothing to use it on.
No. So, but no, it's fixed. So that when anything should happen to her, if they'll ever be able to find out where all her money is. Because she's got it in several different banks under several different names, and we'll never be able to find out, just because she goes by Ruby A. Dodd, Ruby S. Dodd, Mrs. Dodd. She even goes by her maiden name. She goes by any and every kind of name. So they'll never be able to find all the real estate and the money that lady has. But anyhow, Ruby has it fixed, or told Berman, that when anything should happen to him, Ruby is Berman's sister, that whatever Mama gives Ruby, she would half it with him. Because we did the same with her when Daddy passed away. We gave her half of what Daddy had. Except for the old homestead. He wanted Ruby to have that. He wanted her to live in Buffalo, but she sold it. She didn't want it. So
that's a queer situation, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, that's in a way it's kind of sad. You know,
it is.
They get sort of inquisitive. You know, anybody can do that. I have an urge every now and then to get inquisitive myself. I figured, well, they've kept me on a shoestring and paid off these other ones. Well, I got some things now they want. I'll just stick them. And you know, it could be get to be sort of obsession.
Uh-huh. They sure can.
And, but you see, it gets to the point where she is, she actually don't need it. And she got nothing to do with it.
No. Well, it kind of makes you mad that the way she got it, though. And look at the people she's cheated out of that money. I don't know. We almost had a bad wreck coming back from this trip to New York. And I thought to myself, boy, if we ever get back, you know, I'll never accept another cent from her. Because I kept thinking, well, maybe we're going to catch the blame for what she did when she obtained that money. And here we are enjoying ourselves on part of this. And we were gonna get the...
Well, now, I can see what Uncle Colbert does, like that, taking little handouts to pay the lawyers, and then after it's all over, he just keeps taking the handout.
Yeah.
But I don't quite see, is she got a sense of business like he has?
Well, see, she's got a good head on her shoulders as far as, but she's always out to crook somebody. And she's Jewish. And I don't know whether it's that part of her or what, but she will not spend a nickel unless she has to spend it. She'll do without before she even had her electricity. Well, she uses these little refrigerator bulbs for light. She had her water shut off because she didn't want to pay the water bill. Then she goes over and borrows a jug of water every now and then. I don't know how in the world she bathes, but anyhow, that's her business. But anyhow, she did away with that. She was supposed to pay a hookup to the city lines because they were taking in her property into the city lines, and she said no, she wasn't going to do it. So she just had her water shut off, her sewage shut off. her garbage disposal shut off. And you ought to have seen that house. There was stuff in there. Berman and I had to haul off by the carloads when we went down there to see her when she was in the hospital. It's just... That's just ridiculous when she's got the money that she's got. But that's the way she's always been.
Always been?
Always been that way. She would buy this stale bread and put it in croaker sacks and hang it up over a stove to dry out. And that's what the kids ate. She wouldn't make bread and she wouldn't buy bread. She'd go to the bakery and get this day old. It wasn't day old then, it was a week old, Berman said. And she wouldn't have to pay anything for it. She'd put it in croaker sacks and let it dry out over the stove so it wouldn't mildew.
Oh.
But if Berman said they'd be full of cobwebs and they'd have to brush the cobwebs off to eat it. So he says now, to this day, I won't eat day old bread. So I have to make biscuits nearly every day.
Well, now that's not going to add up. She's not going to get that far with that.
No, it's little things like that that really. And then during the Depression, Daddy had bees all the time. Well, she'd take the rod the honey from the bees and go out and trade it or sell it for something, you know, of some other value. And then Daddy kept wondering why his bees was, you know, going down. But she was robbing them of their honey. She'd rob them so low sometimes they'd starve to death. So Daddy'd work hard to make something, and she'd go out behind him, and she'd get it. He'd garden and bring in the vegetables. She'd grab them and go sell them rather than to fix them and eat them.
She even worked against him.
All the time. That's why they had so much confusion. Daddy was the most easygoing fella. He's a lot like Berman was.
Yeah.
Berman's a lot like he was. But he was really easy going. I think Daddy might have made someone a very nice husband in the past. But there was just no getting around her.
How did he ever get hooked up with her?
Well, she was teaching school in Mississippi, and he was lumbering in Mississippi. And I don't know how they met. I do know, but I've forgotten. I think he got hurt or something or another, and she was trying to help him. Hurt his arm or his hand. And she was trying to help him while during this time that he was laid up. And I think that's how they kind of met. But, no, this was before she went off to school. Before she started teaching. And he wanted to marry her then. And then he was in the service too. He went off to war. And he wanted to marry her before he went off to war. And she said no, she wouldn't marry him then. So he went off. He's over in Paris. And I don't know where all he was at. But anyhow, when he came back, he married her. But now she's always told Daddy that she was 7 or 8 years younger than he was. And it's the other way around. So she's even lied to him about that from the very beginning.
Yeah.
But she was a very beautiful woman.
Was she?
She was very, very beautiful. She had a complexion, a very beautiful complexion. She had dark hair. And now it's bleached red, or it has been for the last 10, 15, 20 years that I've known her. But she had real dark hair and blue eyes. She looked more French than she did Jewish. But she really had a beautiful complexion. She still does for a lady her age. She's 86 now.
Some of those Jewish people have just got a mentality you can't reach. You just wonder where in the world they got it.
She's a sharp one. Well, she retired from teaching school in Florida State, and she went to Texas, and she retired in Texas State, so she's drawing a retirement check from both states for teaching.
Yeah.
And then she came back to Florida State and started teaching again. And she taught 5 or 6 years, and then finally had to quit. But she's pulled all kinds of boners, including including what do you call it? Forging Berman's handwriting. And boy, she's done it all. I can't think of anything she hasn't done. She sold one of her children. Berman knew I told you that, he'd kill me. But he's I don't know what all she hasn't done.
That's what they used to say about Miss Bootsy. She's a big colored woman down here. And that's one thing people always tell you about sooner or later, that Miss Bootsy sold one of her children. She had this baby that they didn't know who it belonged to, and she didn't want it, so she just got rid of it.
Well, sounds about what. Well, they knew. Daddy knew it was his baby. Daddy told me about it. I think before Berman even knew about it.
Yeah.
He never told Berman about it. Well, he did. He finally did tell him about it, but he was reluctant to tell him. He just didn't want him to think his mother was all that bad. But
well,
Daddy got in a conversation with me, and before he knew it, he spilled the beans. And then I told Berman about it, but Berman kind of picked around Daddy until he finally got the information out of Daddy.
Well, when you take people like that, when they get together, they would really have something to talk about, wouldn't they?
Who's that?
Like Berman's mother. Anywhere she goes, she just got something to talk about.
She wouldn't tell you about it. She wouldn't. Oh, she's the best angel that ever lived.
Oh, is she?
Oh, she's a church going. She's in church every Sunday morning. I don't think she's been in church for the last 40 years. She'll lie to you. She'll make you think she's a saint. She never can confide.
Well, I was just thinking, how would she make out? You see, those were a respectable job she had.
I know it. Well, and she had the principals in for dinner, and she had the board of directors out for dinner, and oh, she had the preachers out once in a while, and make sure everybody saw all this, you know. And oh, she was respectable when she wanted to be. I mean, as far as letting somebody else, but if she wanted a promotion in her job, she knew how to go about getting it. I could write a book on my mother-in-law. Alone without having to.
You know, she might like to have a book written about her.
No. Oh, no. Well, from what Daddy's told me, what Berman's told me, what Ruby's told me. Now, Ruby
knows, too.
Ruby knows it full well. But she kind of blames her daddy, in a way, for certain things that made her mother do some of these things. She has enough mother-daughter relationship that she wants to save something of her mother, I think, and at least that's the way I see it. And she wants to blame Daddy a little bit for, well, he wasn't educated, and he was a little backwoods fellow, and all he knew was farming, and he didn't go to dances and things like this, and her mother was more educated, and she wanted to get out in the world and do things, and Daddy didn't know how to go about doing anything like this, and she wasn't satisfied. I think if Mama had been more my type, they would have gotten along a lot better and had probably a lot more peace of mind and love in the family than they had. But I'm very well content to stay at home and not go to highfalutin parties and mix with and Berman is too. Berman's a lot like his daddy is that way. He doesn't care about, he just cares about putting in a good, honest day's work, and that's it.
Well, you don't have to have long parties. You get enough of that.
I get enough of the excitement as the days go by with what I've got. But now, Mama would have been bored to death. She had to get out, and she was what would you call her? She's about 40 to 50 years ahead of her time, where the women get out now and work and thrive. She was about I'd say about a good 40 years ahead of her time.
She did that way back.
Yeah.
But you know, I know some of these big shots who have done that from the very beginning. You see, they were never held down because they're women. So she's just in that same boat with them.
Yeah. Well, I don't think a woman any time had to be held down. I think it's just their prerogative, whether they wanted to be or not.
Yes.
I didn't care to be on the go like she was. I've been very content about with leading my life the way it's been going, but now she wouldn't have been. She wouldn't have been satisfied at all.
Well, she didn't have to have fine things. Her house.
No, and her appearance and her children. She didn't care about the children. She didn't do for them. She didn't cook for them. She wasn't home when they were home. She was too eager getting her education. She'd go out, you see, in the evenings, going back to get her education.
Oh.
And she was too fond of the men folks to stay at home with her children. So, there again. Daddy said he almost shot her one day with a shotgun. If it hadn't been for little Ruby, that was Berman's sister, if it hadn't been for little Ruby, he said, I would have shot her sure as I'm sitting here. And I believe him, too, when he says anything.
He run into them?
On the front porch of their house. He ran into her and this fella.
Yeah.
And he was coming home. And he had to walk because his car broke down. He walked miles and miles and miles. And in those days, you had to carry a shotgun with you and keep you for safety. And he said he came up on the house just before dusk, and this guy was standing on the front porch with her, and they were embracing, and here little Ruby was running around them like that on the front porch, and she wasn't but 2-3 years old. So Daddy said, I almost shot her. He said, I took a careful aim, and he said, if it hadn't been for little Ruby running in between the two of them, he said, I'd let them both have it. He said, and then I got to thinking after that, he said, it wouldn't do the kids any good if I shot her. They'd have me too, so.
Yes.
So he
didn't
do it. But you know, you can imagine how outraged he was.
Yeah.
So they never tried to make up, I guess, after that happened.
Oh.
It was always trouble.
But just imagine, you know, Shirley, I couldn't live like that. I wouldn't have the fortitude. I wouldn't have the starch in enough to do that. I mean.
No, me neither.
Even if I wanted to, I wouldn't have the nerve.
Well, Berman was headed for a somewhat of the same situation with his first wife. She was, she despised the ground that Berman walked on. I don't know what in the world she ever married him for in the first place. And then she had that daughter of hers. And that caused more problems. So when the baby was 15 months old, she just took the baby and everything belonged to her, even half the dishes, and left.
Really?
Oh, I told Bert that was the best thing ever happened to him.
Well, now, the daughter writes every now and then.
Yeah.
And then she came down here.
Yeah.
But I guess she's far enough along now that she can get everything she wants. She doesn't have to camp on your doorstep.
Well, she uses her daddy right along. She always has.
Yeah.
And Berman sends her money all along. But I don't know if I don't know whether everybody feels that way with their stepdaughters or what, but there's an ill feeling there between the two of us. I don't know what it is. I can't put my finger on it. Just like I can feel something's going to happen that I don't want to happen in the future. I don't know what it is, but that's the way I feel. And she feels the same way. She has somewhat of the same resentment toward me, although we get along pretty good together, not knowing. But you see, Berman doesn't know her any better than I do.
Oh, yeah. She left too young.
She was 15 months old. She's 22, 23 now. So,
you probably know her better than he did.
I think we got to know one another better than, you know, by the time she went. But you never know what you're going to run into with problems like that. I had enough of my own kids. I don't need to raise her too. So, but Berman has always talked about her from the time we were first married, about getting her to live with us. And I kept saying, yeah, sure, one day, you know, but putting it off that way. And knowing fully well that his first wife would never let her go. So it's worked out, I guess, for the best all the way around.
A lot of times the children don't egg it on. It's the older people, like his first wife. She would put the...
That was another thought I had.
Put the idea in her mind. I was brought up like that. And, of course, my parents, actual parents, my father, didn't have anything. But every time I went to see him, they would put the thought in my mind, you see, is I need to get a new pair of shoes. And I was just, you know, just sappy enough to do it. I wouldn't have the nerve now. I wouldn't, you see, I could see it in a little different light. But I didn't then, so he would take me in Morgan Verheyen's, and we'd sit there and try on shoes. And he didn't have the money to pay for them. In those days, they just had a mere living, you see.
Yeah.
And you know, I think of it now. He couldn't see most of his life. And you see, the doctors hadn't got as far then as they have now. And he could have had the same thing I had, that detached retina.
Oh.
Well, with me, it'll put your eye out, see? It'll put both of them out. They'll go out too. And there's no pain to it.
Huh.
And you see, now they can sew them up, or if they're not torn too much, they can weld them with, you know, that heat.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they did with me. Faye had one, and they had to sew hers up, and I had two. And they just welded them, and there was no pain. Well, a little pain with them holding my eye open and making me turn this way and that, but there was no pain.
Yeah.
And that's what could have happened to him.
Yeah.
And nobody would know it, you see. They would know what to look for.
Is this type of thing hereditary?
I'd ask the doctor.
I
wouldn't think about it, but what it is, it's just a degeneration of the eye.
Yeah.
And it comes apart, and you get a little leak there, and then it gets a little bigger, you see.
I bet it might be a condition, though, that would be hereditary.
Yeah, I'll ask him sometime. Well, I doubt
it. If that is the case, it might well have been what your daddy had.
Well, they had it first, and no one in her family ever had eye trouble, so it would be hereditary on her side. And my eyes were always the strongest thing. You see, I never had a squint or anything. I had to wear glasses part of the time when I worked because I was cross-eyed. I had astigmatism. But that's nothing wrong, you see.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very easy to correct it. I could see a robin sitting on a limb way back in the pasture.
Yeah.
And then I could see up close. You know?
Berman has to hold the paper out like this.
Well, he doesn't now.
Not with his glasses.
Yeah.
And if he can't find his glasses, he has to get way out like this to look, try to figure it out. His eyes are getting weaker and weaker, I can tell. He should go in and get his glasses checked again.
Oh, yeah.
That's
one thing you can do. Is your steer making any progress?
Well, you know, coming off the cow for a while, he's just at a standstill.
Yeah. It takes a week or two, don't it?
Yeah. He's got him shut up there in that pen, and he's shoving him heavy with feed, you know.
Yeah.
He eats pretty good. But he's still mopey from losing the cow. You see, a lot of times they go through a depression, I think, like this, coming off the cow.
Yeah.
And he's just like Patrick was. He's kind of slow.
He likes that liquid diet.
Yeah, they all do.
And they just...
The heifers are doing beautiful. You never even know they had a mama.
Well, that's curious, isn't it?
Oh, and they eat so good. They're just doing beautiful.
They just stand there.
They just love me. I tell you, I go out there and they just come running, and they're so friendly.
Yeah.
I just enjoy them. But You could almost tell which one you want to go through the gate first, and they'd do it.
Yeah.
You know? I just, you just walk that way, you go there, and you know, yeah. They go. And it's just wonderful how they're performing.
Well, you know, Shirley, I have a feeling for those animals. But
yeah.
The horses, I don't have a feeling for them.
I don't either. Captain,
just...
I'll speak to Captain when I go down to the barn.
Yeah.
I'll give him a little fee now
yeah.
and then. But they're nothing like those little heifers.
No.
As long as I have a few little heifers or a couple of cows right there where I can talk to them, you know,
yeah.
really.
But I think of a horse, look at a horse, I see how much energy he got and how much it takes for me to get up there on him. Or if I'm going to groom him,
yeah.
all that grooming that goes along
takes
with
too
a horse.
Much. It takes too much energy.
You can practically raise a herd of cattle for the time you put in
that's
on
right.
one horse.
That's right.
If you know, if you handle it.
And I used to be quite a horseman. I used to love the horses, like Bonnie, when I was younger. But not anymore. I'd rather stick with the cattle. Well, I think if you're able to get out and ride, like I'm not. If I was ever thrown from my horse, I'd bust like a watermelon. But Bonnie
yeah.
enjoys it because she can get out and enjoy them.
Yeah,
she can enjoy them.
That.
Johnny now, he rides once in a while.
Yeah.
And he enjoys grooming them.
Does he?
He's very interested in watching and toning in the muscles of an animal, whether it be a horse or a cow or a steer or what, and grooming them and making them look perfect, you know. And he's very interested, but this is what they're drilling into them now, you see, through
yeah.
that program.
Yeah.
So he's learning a lot from it.
Yeah.
And in forestry, he's interested in forestry.
Yeah.
And he came in, he won second place in, as far as the school stands, so in this forestry contest.
Is that right?
Yeah, it was one from all over the state, and they came in second. I was quite proud of them.
You see that all that. All
he's
that,
only been at 2 weeks.
All that grooming stuff is just ridiculous to me.
Yes, it is.
I don't care for
it.
It
is.
But you see.
But it teaches.
The
them.
Children have got to have something, you see, that they can do.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't care whether it's sensible or not.
Yeah.
If they think it's somebody who approves it, you know.
Yeah.
And it's all right. Nothing against it, except I don't care for it.
Well, he had a disappointment last week. He wrote to Joe Kirkland, the secretary of the FFA
yeah.
in Tallahassee. And he wrote him back a letter that he couldn't show Patrick in the show. It was our understanding that he could show him, if he went ahead and sold him, he could show him under the buyer's name, providing he was the one that raised him up to the certain age, and providing he had an interest in buying him back later on, which he does. So, this is, Joe Kirkland wrote back that he could not do this, but Johnny didn't explain to him that he had raised that bull up to this point, you know, that he didn't just buy him and then turn around and resell him, or that he didn't explain to him that he had done all this work with him when he was a calf, growing him up, feeding him out. And he didn't explain to him either that he had intentions of buying this bull back at a certain age, providing they take good care of him. But that was in the contract when they sold him the bull, when we sold him the bull. Johnny made out a contract, and that he is entitled to first chance at the bull if they sell him between now and
that's
2 years of age.
And it's no good. It's just as good as it can be for some reason.
So, I don't know. He's kind of disappointed, but he's going to write another letter and hope to get it back in time to get him ready and sell and take him into the Tampa Fair. So that would give him the steer for Gainesville show, the chapter steer for the Gainesville show, and Patrick and the heifer. He wants to take 37 heifer and take her in to the Tampa Fair. So he's getting her ready. See what she'll do. So
Shirley,
he's pretty
interesting. That little motorcycle you got over there, You know, that just sort of lodged in my mind. It's more maneuverable than I am.
It is. It's real good. I've gone out on that thing a few times.
Well,
I don't go as fast as they do.
No, but that's what I was thinking now. It could be that's what a fella needs.
Yeah.
You see, when I go get the cows, I'd rather walk generally, but sometimes they'll misbehave on you,
mm-hmm.
and you need something where you can hit them. And that thing is just remarkable what you can do on that.
Oh, it is. Timmy will go out, he'll get right behind those animals, and he'll go real slow, and they'll walk real slow. And they get up to the line, up to the corner here, and he's got to come out here and park his motorcycle right there, and then go back over and walk them out of the corner. And as soon as they get around the corner, then he jumps back on that motorcycle and gets behind them and keeps going. They don't have a chance to double back.
Yeah.
So it works beautiful.
Yeah.
And they respect that noise of that bike enough that they don't go too close to it, you know, they stay their distance from it. And if he stops, they turn around and look at him as if to say, well, what are you waiting for, you know? What are you stopping for? So, it's worked out beautifully.
Well, you see, you could get one a little larger than that,
mm-hmm.
and it would be no more trouble to ride that than it would be to drive a car. I mean, it's very simple.
Less trouble.
If you ever rode a bicycle at that rate, I'd think.
Yeah.
And now you take, when you had the cows way over there, you know, by the water hole, and had to make that trip all the time. Well, it wears your car out.
Yeah.
For one thing. And then this thing's more maneuverable.
Have you seen the path they've got? You got the roadway, the ruts for the road, the car going down this way, and then over here a little ways next to the fence is a regular little road path going down. They've gone up down that laneway so much they've got a roadway, motorcycle trail all the way down beside the fence.
Yeah.
Oh, Lordy.
And that's the expense of that. It's no expense to maintain.
They go all down a spoonful of gas, it seems like to me. The thing never runs out.
No battery?
No, it goes on gas. Car gas. Regular car gas.
Yeah, magneto?
Mm-hmm. And oil?
No lights. You could put a light on it, or could you?
Can if you want to. We didn't have any. They don't use it after dark anyhow, so
yeah.
You can put a light on
it. No, I wouldn't think you'd necessarily.
All you need is dirt tires, see, for the dirt.
Oh.
They call that a dirt bike. You can go out in the dirt.
Oh.
On the sand.
Well, I don't exactly know what that would be.
They're grooved tires. They make contact with the dirt so that they don't slip. They're not smooth tires. You get your smooth road tires out here in the dirt, and you turn over too easy.
Yeah.
This grips into the dirt, you see, as you're going.
Oh, yeah.
And it doesn't spin them off so bad.
Yeah.
So they can go up and down the laneway pretty good.
Well, you know, I think of this. When you stay in a business long enough just to see the ins and outs of it, it's a shame just to get out of it completely. But you know what pushed me out of it, Shirley, is I can't ride a tractor now much. I have to take pills, you see, time, so I'm getting fat.
Well, that's what happened up Colbert.
Oh, really?
Same thing happened to him. He can't drive a tractor. That's why he liked Merman to do all his tractor work.
Yeah.
And he has to hire all his work done.
And I'd rather do that tractor right
now. Yeah, I know.
Like it. I'd rather do it.
Well, Berman's getting to the place where he can't get, you know, keep everything done up. So now that Johnny's big enough, he's, let me see, it was Monday. No, it was Friday. He was off from school Friday, and he went down and raked and baled the hay. Freddie picked up his part, and he went on home. He raked and baled our hay, and then when Berman came in, we all picked up hay together. This was Friday afternoon. Now, I can't drive the tractor anymore. I get too dizzy. So I quit driving it. So here it would have had to sit there until 5 o'clock. Then he would have had to bale Freddy's. We never would have got ours in Friday night. So that helped us out there. Now, he'll be off again next Friday. Johnny will be off again next Friday. So he's going to go down You know where the barn is close to the house? There's a field in back of there that has no water in there. And he's going to plant that whole thing in ryegrass for me. He's going to cut it up with a bushing bog and then level it down with the disc and pull a spike tooth harrow across it. So he'll have it all ready to plant by the time Berman gets in, and all I have to do is sow the seeds.
Yeah.
So that's beautiful. Then Berman doesn't have to work his head off.
Yeah.
Then they get together and they put that fence in together. Berman, Johnny can go ahead with the fence. But he said, no, he said, I'd like for Daddy to help me with the fence. And I like that because they work together. They don't have much time.
That is a great consideration. It's a whole lot better to have it that way.
Well, when you have to do it by yourself, it gets to be...
And it's a whole lot better to have somebody sort of hold back and just run out there and want to do it all themselves. And
yeah.
Because then you got to do it over again.
Yeah.
Lot of it.
Well, Johnny does good work. I like I told Berman, I was real depressed one day here last week, and every now and then it hits me, and I try not to think about it. But every time you pick up a newspaper, you can't help but think about it. This war is getting in such a bad state over there that the next thing you know, Johnny will be running off to war, and we'll be left with it.
Yeah.
You get a kid up big enough to help you, and then he has to go off to service. I can see how the mothers and fathers felt back in World War II now when their sons was going off to sea. I remember them talking about it when I was a little kid, but I know now how they must have felt. Here he is, just a matter of months, and he'll be eligible to go.
Did you ever see anything any more mixed up than that Middle East is now?
It's a mess, and I'm afraid it's going to run into some heavy battle before it's over.
Well, they got the ceasefire, but what good is a ceasefire going to
do?
Practically got it. Maybe they haven't entirely got it.
Then they're talking about impeaching Nixon. That's going to be another setback.
That's going to be a pretty
another setback. Watergate episode.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And they won't do it on the side. They do it on the headlines.
Yeah.
All that sort of stuff is what you have to live with. You got your certificates?
Yeah, I got the ones that I made out on the calves of the heifers so we can get them in.
Right.
These are the ones on my little calves. No, this is mine. That was one of my calves.
Yeah, yours.
Yeah, those are all yours. I think there's my card.
Let me see whether I sign it at the top.
Just here at the bottom. I think I've got... Let me see if that's right.
Right there.
Sign here, up here, just on the top line. There.
Just Guy Miles.
Uh-huh. Guy S. Miles is the way I put it.
These are
on the little heifer, little baby calves.
You're gonna do it right and give them the ear.
Yeah.
There's no trouble.
Yeah, they're already tattooed. See, they've already got their tattoo number. I've already got them tattooed and everything. They've all been vaccinated and blacklegged.
What system do you use for that?
I've got a tattooer.
I mean for the number.
Well, like on these, I started out with 600.
Oh, I see.
When I went on down.
For this year?
Yeah. I have a record of all the tattoo marks so they don't put the same tattoos in the next year. You know, 73. And each calf is not marked 73. See here? And the names is 73.
Yeah.
That's this year's calves.
Yeah.
That's about how it, and then
I put that on the tattoo.
Uh huh. And all of them?
I did for a while. It's simple to do.
And you don't even have to really do that. You know, I found, one year I used the vet's tattoo for the registration.
It'd really be simple that way.
That's the check that goes with these. No, this is your check I want to make out here. I'm going to give you a couple of thousand more here. And maybe every time I see you, if I give you $2,000, I won't owe you anything.
Yeah. Yeah, hey now, Berman not going to shortchange himself this year.
He's got all we need right now in the barn.
Yes.
But we're going to go ahead and try to save what we got down because it's a sin to have to lose it.
Yeah.
we can dry it out. But if we don't, we're still safe. We still got enough to last us all winter. He's not selling any this year.
Yeah.
So we got enough clover hay, pangola hay, and coastal Bermuda hay. We got quite a variety.
Yeah. And they'll eat it.
Yeah, they like love it. They love it. How did you want this made out?
Doesn't matter. Me.
Okay. I think today's the 22nd, I'm not sure.
20 is somewhere along there. Yeah. Now, what form of protein are those baby calves getting?
They've got the calf creep.
Yeah.
And then I've got a vitamin
supplement. 10% protein or 20?
14. Yeah. 14. 14. I believe there's one bag that's 16%. That's the dairy feed.
Yeah.
14 is their
yeah.
calf creep.
Now that'll hold them.
Yeah, it should. And then I'm putting in a supplement vitamin powder. You only sprinkle a little on top of the feed.
Oh.
And it's a vitamin powder that
yeah.
goes in the feed. I put it in there extra.
Well,
that's,
now they,
that's what we did to Patrick, and he grew off real good on that.
Yeah.
So.
As soon as they get over that weaning shock,
yeah.
some of them don't have that so bad.
The heifers are doing beautiful, but that little bull, that little steer there that Johnny's got in the pen, is he? It seems like the steers were the worst. They wanted their mothers the worst.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know why,
that's
but
funny.
They do.
Well, they cut up once or twice, you know, over there in that that crabgrass over in that grove. They just went through my fence just like it wasn't there.
Yeah, yeah.
And,
now, did you want to sign these on the bigger heifers, or you want
sure.
to wait? And, I thought I'd send them, go ahead and send them in, because I don't know how. Now, some of these are, five are on the two-year-olds, or almost two, I put them almost two. That's the 71s. 71 here. And then these are on the eight, younger ones.
Yeah. Well, as it turns out, it would have saved money if I just gone ahead and kept the registration up. But I tell you, you see, I didn't have the good luck as you did. It got so I couldn't get as much money for a registered calf as I and a pretty one as I could just for plain.
Well, I may run into that problem right now. I
no,
may have
you haven't done that. You've done where it ought to be.
But what I meant was this bunch that I want to sell now, I want to get you your money, so I might have to take them on the market to get my money out of it. Because I don't
want to
keep you waiting.
No, you don't want to do that.
But I thought by now I would have already sold them. Now, the bull, I have no trouble. He'll sell, I'm sure. I've been offered $400 for him, but like I said, I'm trying to get a little more for him. But if not, I'll let him go. But those cows, they're really too nice to take to market, and yet they're not nice enough to keep, you know, for me to keep. I'd like to go ahead and move them. And some
well.
Of them have got little tiny calves.
Uh-oh.
And I don't like the calves coming off this time of the year.
Oh, yeah. That's hard on everybody.
So that's one reason why I wanted to get rid of that bull. But then again, we were undecided what to do since about these eight heifers. Well, I don't know. Oh, what I want to ask you about is the little heifer that you got here.
Yes.
Now she has to be vaccinated yet.
That's right.
What age is she right now?
She's the youngest one.
Okay. Well, won't worry about her for a while.
No. Damn their times, they, at Seminole, if I order from another department and say, well, stick in some calf feed for me, they just never get the word.
Uh-huh.
And, You see, I've been feeding her and her mama.
Oh.
Giving them a handout every day or two.
Well, I'll pick up a bag of feed for them then.
I'm going in this afternoon, you see. And I thought I'd pick up a bag somewhere. What would you get? That
that Calf Creek, that 14% there. That's where I got it, the Brownlee's. But I don't know whether you can get
it. Well, I just get 100 pounds of it.
All right.
And it was good. I got a sack too before, you know. Calf Creek. And I'll tell them, I'll just ask them what you get, and then they'll give me a sack of it. And I don't know how they do that. I've got a, the only way I can be sure.
Well, if you get it at Brownlee's, tell them to put it on my account there, because I pay them once a month for all my feed.
Oh, I better not do that.
They'll let you do it, or I'll call them and let them know you're coming in, but go ahead and give it to you. We'll do it that way, because
well,
I give them, that'll save me from making out two different checks.
Sure.
Now, if you need any salt or anything like that while you're there, you can pour them.
Well, that's a little cheaper.
Yeah, that's true.
A little cheaper.
That's true. We get Brownlee's because it's so much more convenient for him when he's in there.
Convenient.
So that's why he.
Now, let me tell you, Cookie buys stuff up here at Orange Heights or somewhere up there. I forget where it is.
Melrose. C&L Feed Store.
Yeah.
I don't know what they're doing. I don't quite understand it, but they're trying some other kind of feed over there. Cookie called me about it, but it runs about $3 more than I'm paying for it at Brownlee's.
Oh, really?
And he wanted to get it, and he was going to Georgia, and he was going to get a load of it.
Yeah.
And according to his price and the price we've been paying Brownlee's, I checked back on my subs, and he wanted $3 more a load than what we're paying here at Brownlee's, so we just didn't bother with it. And it's for the same kind of feed.
Yeah.
No, it's 12%. This is 14%.
Well, now what Cookie told me was he was going to bring stuff down from Georgia and going to put it over at Jack Stokes, and he was going to be able to sell better stuff for $2 or $3 less.
Cheaper, right. That's
cheaper.
What he told us. But then when I went back and checked my feed prices, it was more. I don't know whether he's trying to make money on me for hauling or what, but
no, he's straight like that. He's a trader. He's a trader, you know.
Yeah.
But I've never found him. A lot of times he can get things wrong.
He might have given me the wrong prices or something, but he quoted me. I think it was $9.25 for a 100-pound bag.
I'll tell you this thing about Cookie, what he'll do, and he does this deliberately. He'll go up there and get your load, and then when he comes down there to give it to you, he'll say, "Now this cost me a little bit more than I thought it would." And you're not going to say, "Well, damn you, Ty, you told me, you know, you
yeah.
did that." But he'll do tricks like that. So I found it a little difficult to have business dealings with him.
Yeah. You kind of hate to not to do business with him, because I know he must need it for his business to support his family, being in ill health the way he is.
Yeah.
But still,
it's a little easier to do business.
This day and time, you got to check and find out where you can buy the cheapest
yeah.
of everything.
A little easier to do business with Brownlee and Seminole, and just if it's a little premium, go ahead and pay it, because you know what you're getting.
Well, we get a kickback too from Bradley on Johnny's feed. For his steer. See, he helps us out that way.
Does he?
A little bit, yeah. For the, well, he ought to with all the feed we buy. Now, we didn't ask him for this kickback from Patrick, and we should have. So, we're learning the hard way.
Let's go out there and see
him. Yeah, I want to see him real bad.
Let's see where my hat is.
Am I keeping you from your worker?
No, I've got to go down. I'm not working, Shirley.